Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 114 for Thursday, November 2nd, 2012. It's a big day, boys and girls. How many times have I said that? I think probably at least, what, once, twice a year? It's a big day. It's Nexus Day. We're going to talk all Nexus all the time, and we're going to jump right into it. Jerry Hildenbrand from the site is here.
Howdy, everybody. Happy Nexus Day.
Alex Doby is in England. That's where he
and a happy Nexus Day to you too, Jerry.
It should be a national holiday, don't you think? Or some sort of holiday.
Well, it is at my house. Right. I've got the tree up.
You got a Nexus tree?
Like, oh, yeah.
All the Nexuses hanging from the sides.
I'm trying to remember, like, has anything else non-Nexus happened since last we talked?
8X, 8, Windows Phone 8 stuff. Not
yeah,
Android.
But that's stuff Nexus. That so.
Anything we care about?
I'm excited about the Windows Phone stuff, and I'm going to get one, and I'm going to try it.
It's nice. You're going to like it.
Yeah, Alex.
I think you're going to buy one.
I got the iPad mini today. I don't have it sitting here next to me, but it's a small, thin iPad. We did a video up it with the Nexus 7. I mean, it's a different form factor. I think it's a little too wide for me. I like the width of the Nexus 7, and, you know, I like Android too, obviously, but, you know, it's a nice piece of hardware, so it's interesting to use. I'll be curious to see what the rest of my family thinks about it. But yeah, today is all about Nexus, so let's just friggin' talk Nexus all afternoon. On Monday was supposed to be the event in New York City, obviously, that got canceled due to Hurricane Sandy. Actually, I want to take 1 second and say, if you're out there and you're listening and Hurricane Sandy screwed up your life, I'm there with you. I know what it's like. Jerry, you're there with him. You had a little stuff from it. Alex looks at us like, what the hell's a hurricane? I know it's bad. Hang in there. I've been through a number of these things, and the number one thing I can tell you is just have patience. Help out your neighbors. Help out each other, and, you know, you'll get through it. It'll get better.
Make your way to West Virginia. I've got a couple couches. So, you know.
You know, if you lost your, God forbid you lost your home or any family members, yep. It's about as bad as it gets, but, you know, things can be rebuilt, and they will. You know, I've seen my little town here in Florida have to do it several times. It's not fun, it's a lot of work and a lot of pain, but it will get better. So, with that, let's talk Nexus. So, the event was canceled. They're not going to do it again. They're not, you know, postponing it or anything. And instead, they just kind of dumped everything on us. Midday Monday. Jerry wasn't even awake yet. I'm still pissed at you about that, by the way. And Alex,
hey,
I'm running out to get lunch or something. I'm tea and crumpets and, hey, Phil, Nexus stuff. Bastards.
If they'd have told me, I'd have been home.
I know. So it was
kind of surprising. I really wasn't expecting everything to just be dropped on us like that.
Yeah.
I guess timing issues and stuff, but...
You know, Google does what it wants. And that's cool. It's their device. They can announce it whenever the hell they want. So, and it was odd because the first thing I actually saw was LG's press release on the Nexus 4 before anything from Google. So I was like, oh, hell, all right, here we go. You know, it's exactly what we knew. It's exactly what all the leaks were. You know, quad-core Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 Pro, 1.5 gigahertz. That's actually a little underclocked. I was looking at the official Qualcomm specs, and I don't know if it's underclocked or, I mean, if that's just the way they designed it, cool, whatever. 2 gigabytes of RAM. I mean, look, this thing is an Optimus G. It is an Optimus G. Mm. Period.
With a little less Optimus-y when you turn it on.
Yeah, and actually, that's, I mean, for me, that's not a bad thing. There's a lot that LG has done that's interesting, but I prefer stock. So Android 4.2 is official now. Here's the phone, by the way, if you have yet to see it and you know, live in a hole. here it is. I've been crawling all over this thing. I've had it since Tuesday afternoon. It's now Friday. What do you guys want to know? What questions do you have? Our review is coming. You know, I wanted to spend more than, you know, 2 days playing with it because I think it deserves that. This isn't just any other Android phone. This is important. So, what questions, Jerry and Alex, do you have? In chat room, if you guys have more questions about it, ask away.
Can I have it?
No. You're getting one.
Can I have it?
I'll buy you both one.
Woohoo! Uncle Phil, we love you.
Yay!
The only question is who loves Phil more.
Don't worry, we're going to give away some more. We've got some interesting plans for giveaways next week. So ask me about the phone.
So the big thing I want to know about is build quality. That's the one thing that is, I think, even on the Nexus 7 is kind of skimped a little bit.
Right.
And I've been using HTC phones the past week, and they, you know, you can't beat their build quality when it comes to things made out of plastic. So how, obviously you've got the glass back, you know, the don't call it glass back, the kind of the plastic metallic trim around the side and some soft touch around the back. How does that come together? Is it kind of a...
It is as solid, you know, as the Optimus G is, which, you know, shouldn't be surprising because it is the Optimus G. It, I mean, there are no moving parts, right? There's no battery cover to come off. So that immediately eliminates a lot of flex, a lot of just whatever. I'm sorry, I can't read your name there in the chat room, but asking if the battery can be removed and replaced even though it's fixed in there. Yeah, I think it can be. You know, we've seen a number of pictures where the casing comes off.
You showed me one the other day, so I got the Optimus G that's going back to Sprint out of the box.
Right.
Got the screwdrivers back out. Those two screws and a little bit of more force than you think you would need, but not enough to break anything, pops the cover right off.
I think the better word is probably serviceable.
I would say user serviceable.
I still think people are worrying about this too much, and that's easy for me to say because, you know, obviously nothing bad has happened here yet. But we've had, I mean, I asked this on Google Plus the other day. We've had a number of phones now with these internal non-removable batteries or whatever. And is there a rash of just batteries dying that I haven't heard about? I mean, have all the Razer devices just up and quit and nobody told me?
I think it's more of a psychological thing, isn't it? It's more of if you're going on a trip or something, it's not being it's knowing you can't just pop an extra battery in. That's what people are afraid.
You know what? When you said that, it got me thinking a little bit. You remember back when Apple first made the original iPod Touch? Mm-hmm. The battery life was not very good on that thing. And if you used it a lot, and everybody did, everybody played games on it nonstop. My wife did. You charged it twice a day. It only lasted 6 months because you were draining the battery twice every damn day and recharging it. And I think that's where this myth that you have to have an external battery to get more than 6 months or a year out of your device. I think it stems from there. That was people's first real exposure to something that a battery went bad in.
Right.
And if a battery goes bad within the life of the phone, that's a defective battery. That's not through wear and tear,
right?
With a device like this.
I get the psychological thing, and I completely understand. You know, I travel, right? And I want to be able to swap in a new battery if that's what it comes down to. I get that. I totally understand that. If that's a deal breaker for you, it's a deal breaker. And that's okay. Yep. It's okay for that to be a deal breaker. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're a bad smartphone owner or a bad Android fan or whatever. I mean, that just means your use case, you know, demands something different. And that's okay. But
there are plenty of great phones with removable batteries.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
I think from a manufacturing standpoint, from a design standpoint, internal batteries have opened things up for everybody. Whether or not you're following Apple's lead by doing it, and I don't necessarily accept that argument. I think it's certainly a possibility, but you know, it's not something that the other manufacturers couldn't have come to on their own. But everybody's doing it. Motorola's doing it. LG is doing it. HTC is doing it. Samsung hasn't yet, and that's a differentiator for Samsung. If you're the only company not doing it, at that point it becomes a feature for you. So I'm not sure at what point Samsung's going to make that leap. They might not. And you know, that said, they've been able to do a really good job with the Galaxy S3 and still have a removable battery. So maybe Samsung's just gotten that good at the design and manufacturing of it. Right now, let's talk about battery life. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. Now, again, we're talking 2.5-3 days. So I got it on Tuesday and, you know, obviously used it and did setup and all that stuff, and that burns a lot of battery. So Wednesday was like first full battery day. And I forget, Jerry, I sent you the screenshot. I think I posted on Google Plus today. I got like 18 hours out of it. Now, the good vast majority of it is on Wi-Fi, and it's me, you know, checking stuff and checking email and putting it back down. We're not watching movies for, you know, 5 hours on this thing. This is my normal usage pattern, and, you know, easily 12 hours out of that. That's another part of the reason I haven't done the review yet or finished the review is because I want to give that a little more time to actually get out of the house this weekend and use it and see. Because it was – the Optimus Gs we had in Korea were – iffy on battery, but that was all pre-release stuff. So guys in the chat room are mentioning Engadget's review and in the Verge reviews. I haven't read all these reviews. I generally don't read other people's reviews until I've written one about the same thing. I think the reason you're seeing such wildly different opinions on that, A, usage case is going to, you know, differ. But there's a possibility, and hopefully I'm not putting words in people's mouths. There's a possibility of bad units out there. It happens. So
I should mention all these things are running pre-release software as well.
Yes. And that is the other thing. So I know some of the reviews mentioned it and some don't. This is Android 4.2, but it's not all the features are there. You know, the lock screen widgets, not there. What was the other one? The multiple user accounts isn't there for
tablets. Yeah.
So I'm not sure what else is missing. What other tweaks might be missing? I don't know. Everybody worries about screen on time. It was like a couple hours, I think, on when I had that.
What you sent me was like 4.5 hours.
Was it that long? Okay.
Out of 18.
Yeah. So, you know, people worry about that. But again, my screen on time is check something, play around for a little while, turn it off. So, yeah, you know, I don't worry too much about the total on-screen time. And in fact, what I worry more about than on-screen time is radio time. I think standby time for me is a big deal. Because that's the other side of the coin. And especially because I think back to the Thunderbolt, which was just horrible. You know, you remember you used to leave that thing unplugged overnight and it would be dead. It was ridiculous. So, I mean, batteries so far, I'm fairly impressed. I need to get it out of the house. Need to actually, you know, give some real-world testing, and we'll see. But again, you can't take the battery out, and that's just something you're going to have to learn. I equate that with the Galaxy Nexus, and I first started using it, I had to change the way I do things. I had to, you know, instead of reaching over with my thumb, I have to do some things with my right hand now. And you kind of learn to change your usage case a little bit to meet the device. Should that, you know, always be the case with a device? Not necessarily, right? If you have to change the way you're doing something, then perhaps you shouldn't be using that device. But, you know, we'll see. What else? Somebody in the chat room mentioned The Verge said their unit's rear glass shattered when Josh dropped it from a tabletop level. Yeah, I heard that.
Drop it.
Drop your phone.
Drop it. Turn around, drop it.
I have carpet in here. You know, glass shatters. I don't know what to say about that. And that's one of those things I'm a little worried about. I've gotten a couple hairline scratches on this. Not like anything big, and certainly not as big as I've got on my Galaxy Nexus. But I've got one tiny little one I can see, a little nick. That's a concern for me. I mean, it's glass. Glass scratches, right? Even Gorilla glass or whatever. But when I think we're really going to find out when people start buying this, and I'm a little worried about the poop storm that might follow.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to. If Google sells more than just a few thousand units, some of them are going to break. People are going to break them the day they get them.
Right.
That's just the way it's going
to
work.
It's going to happen. So I think that's something we need to remember as people start buying them is keep an ear out for it and see what's going on. But, like, one or two cracks does not a problem make. So we'll see. I don't know. It just... You know, we're going to have to kind of look at the macro level. You know, knock on wood, I don't break this one. But we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, you drop any phone and bad things happen. That's why you try to drop your phone. And it's always so random as to what angle it lands at, what side it hits. Right. And I don't think that it's going to be just a case of every time you drop this from waist height or whatever, it just shatters into a million pieces. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll see. Maybe it's just really, really, maybe it's just a terrible phone.
Big question everybody has had. And there are a lot of big questions, actually, for something that I thought was going to be a relatively easy phone to review. Is speaker quality. I've found it to be excellent. It's actually, the only complaint I have about it is the same thing I thought in the testing I did with the Optimus G, because I'm pretty sure it's the exact same speaker, probably. It's almost too loud.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it's overdriven a little bit when you've got it cranked all the way up. So, you know, be aware of that. But it's good. It's loud. I have no problem. Call quality has been nice and loud. And the funny thing is, going from, I don't know if it's still broken in CyanogenMod or if it's just broken in the 90s for the GS3, but you can't adjust the volume when you're on a call. It's just loud. So it's nice to have that back again. What else? Charging? You want to know about charging?
Yes. Do you have any type of charging?
Can you charge it? Does that work?
Yes, I can charge it, which is
good.
Can
you charge the phone?
I can't swap batteries now. So it does have wireless charging. We do not have the official Nexus wireless chargers. And honestly, I don't know when they're going to be available, guys. This is another one of those things where, like, something gets announced and that's all they said. And that worries the hell out of me.
My guy last night.
Go on, Jerry.
One at a time, boy.
I asked my guy last night if we should expect them anytime close to launch. And I'll quote, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
So.
Remember how long it took us to get
that? That was the initial reaction, like all of us were.
Right.
It's just, okay.
How long did it take us to get
this accessory we're probably not going to see for 6 months?
Car charger for the Galaxy Nexus? It was like 6-8 months. It was ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah.
Have we
even got that up for the 7 yet? Is that even showing up?
No dock yet for the 7 still for those pogo pins. I know I complain about it every week.
I keep looking.
So it's just one of the things. Now, I mean, all this said, you can't even buy this one yet. So we still have almost 2 weeks.
Do you have any of those other charging mats laying around, like the ones that use a special case on the Evo or the iPhone?
Yeah, no, I don't. I think I got rid of all my power mat mats. I did. I tell you what I did have the store send me this week was a Palm Touchstone. Like from old school Pompery. It does not work in that, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Didn't think it would, but a lot of people have asked, so there are a lot of old,
had to try, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of ex-Palm people out there. But no, I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to wireless charging. I miss it. And it wasn't wireless with the Nexus One, but it had the dock that you can just put it in and unplug. So that was nice. You guys want to talk LTE or lack thereof?
Sure. That's a big source of contention for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, for me, and for anyone in Europe, basically, it's no big deal. It's the LTE situation over here is it's so weird and so expensive and so early on that it really doesn't impact this at all. And it's coming to the price that it's at. If it has LTE, no big deal for us. But it's kind of a big deal in the US.
And that's, I think that's something we need to remember, though, is that LTE is more than just the US and the Nexus is more than just the US. And Jerry, do we have any idea? I mean, there are like 13 different versions of the Galaxy Nexus. Do we know if they're going to do this same sort of regional thing for the Nexus 4 yet?
I heard that they're going to. Yeah. I mean, I've nothing concrete from anybody I would implicitly trust, but supposedly there is a Sprint and an AT&T one out in the wild right now. You know, take that with whatever grain of salt you want. If I believed it enough to think it was true, it would have been on the front page of Android Central.
Sure.
But to me, that makes perfect sense. Not having LTE on a phone that was designed with the Android open source project in mind is a feature, not an omission.
I think if you slam this, if you reject this phone on principle for not having LTE, you do not understand the Nexus project. I think that's what it comes down to.
Right.
You do not understand the philosophy behind Nexus and what Google's doing with it. Would I love to see LTE on it? Absolutely. If this were any other phone, you know, if this was any other AT&T or Sprint phone or Verizon, you know, T-Mo getting it eventually, whatever, and it did not have LTE, I would, you know, scream bloody murder. But this is a Nexus phone, and the rules are different. Right or wrong, the rules are different for Nexus phones, and that's just the way it is, and complaining about it's not going to do anybody any good. It might make you feel better.
I mean, you basically have a choice. Do you want to build the phone that you can distribute the closed source stuff easily, or do you want to have to fight and bang your head like they did with the Sprint and the Verizon Galaxy Nexus?
Right.
I don't think Google wants to do that again.
If I were them, I wouldn't.
I No, heck no. There's enough people that will buy it as is. And for the other people, I have a really strong feeling if you just wait it out, there's going to be something for you. It might not be marked as the same thing as a Nexus, but it's basically going to be identical.
Or, I mean, Jesus, if you really want something that's, you know, as close to this as possible and has LTE, get an Optimus G. It's the same right. phone, and then, or, you know, wait till we get custom ROMs for those and do it that way, because they are the same phone. That kind of leads me to the next thing, and that's the camera. I need to do more testing with it. I'm hopefully going to some cool places tonight and tomorrow so I can get some really good photo opportunities. It's the same, as far as I know, it's the exact same camera that's in the 8-megapixel version of the Optimus G. And that's where it gets a little interesting, actually. I'm not sure if you can see it here. You'll see it in our pictures, and I think we've probably posted some already. So on the 13, where's my 13? On the 13-megapixel version, the camera has the little ring around it right here. But on the 8-megapixel version, it's the flash. Which side is it? The flash has an even smaller ring around it, so it sticks out just ever so slightly. It's much thicker on the 13-megapixel Optimus G. I don't know what the deal is, but
I asked about that last night, Phil.
Was that
we were talking about it the other day?
Yeah.
I asked about that last night.
Right.
If you pop the cover off, you notice there's a little plastic cylinder that the LED sits in.
Right.
That's to block all the light that's not forward shining because the sensor is so sensitive.
Makes sense.
That's why there's a ring around the LED.
Huh.
It sticks out just enough so no light can go backwards towards the sensor.
That
satisfied me. That's a great explanation to me. So
yeah. As far as camera quality, I'm expecting decent, but probably not Galaxy S3, HTC One X territory. Some of that's going to be software based, right?
Yep.
They have really
We're looking at the hardware in this, and it's apparently a Sony BSI sensor, I think, right. Which is more or less the same. I mean, it won't be the same sensor, it won't be the same assembly, but it's more or less the same as what is in the Galaxy S3. So I think any difference in image quality is mostly going to be down to software. But that said, you've got decent hardware to build on, so yeah, potentially it's gonna be at least acceptable for you know, which is more than you could say for the Galaxy Nexus.
Yes, the camera software is pretty much the same. They've tweaked it up some. The settings actually take a cue from remember that thumb wheel settings deal in Chrome. Was it in Chrome or was it in? No, it was in the Honeycomb.
It was in the stock browser.
Yeah. So they've actually kind of brought that into the focus ring. So like, you know, if you tap, it'll focus on a certain point. And then if you drag your finger around it, you'll have quick settings. And actually one of the more important ones they've added that I really want to get out there and try is HDR. So that's now built into the Galaxy. What do we got? No, not Galaxy. I've been doing that all week. The Nexus 4 camera now has built-in HDR, which is nice because that's one of the features I use a lot. Panorama's still there. Video's still there. You still have usual scene modes. But the big one is this photosphere. It's kind of like a souped-up, more two-dimensional, I guess, panorama. So instead of taking your phone and doing this like 180 degrees, you can go all 360 degrees. But in photosphere, you can also pan up and down and do this really cool kind of just mash of the whole thing. It's kind of hit and miss. If there's any motion, if there are people walking around, you're going to get people cut off. Their legs will disappear in the finished product. Their heads might disappear. If there's nobody moving around, it looks really good. If you go on Google Plus, you've seen Googlers posting stuff all week since the announcement. I put a couple up since I've gotten it. And it's really cool. Now, viewing the images is interesting. You can, pan and zoom around them on the app itself. And in Google Plus, it works. So you can, click to zoom in and see stuff. Jerry, I saw somebody in the forums, Dylan in the forums, had ported this over to the Galaxy Nexus already. How well is that working? I haven't tried that.
Well, everything works. Yeah. It's the hardware isn't quite up to snuff.
Really?
The pictures, I mean, they still look like Galaxy Nexus pictures.
Yeah.
But the Photosphere, it works close to the same. It's hard to tell. The guys from Google with the Nexus 4 that have been shown off the pictures, they've had a while to practice.
Right.
Maybe you just, you know, you need to learn how to
manipulate. And some of them are really awesome photographers in the first place,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm.
I keep going back to last year and the Galaxy Nexus pictures and how much they sold us on those before any of us got to use it. And then we were disappointed, so I'm withholding judgment until I actually get this thing out and really right. use it. But the Photosphere is cool. I think it's also ingenious because it's going to push people to Google Plus more because you're not sharing these yeah. on Facebook.
You can almost yeah. tell that was the reason for it.
Yeah.
The sole reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we were talking about this pre-launch, like how are you going to share this on the desktop? Of course, it's obvious. Google's going to do it by the web, and if it's social sharing, they're going to do it by their own social network.
Right.
So yeah, it makes perfect sense.
You've also got filters now. That's kind of built into the gallery. The gallery, for the most part, is the same. That hasn't changed a whole lot. But you have these post-production things, so you can filter and crop and put border. It's Instagram for Google, is what it is. And it works okay. It's weird. I have no desire to put filters on my Google Plus images. Like, I kind of want filters on my Instagram, and I want Google Plus to be virgin and just post, and because they're bigger and more beautiful, and you can show them off better, and I have no desire to mess them up.
Somebody in the chat room is asking about another site, said that the colors were a little bit dull. Screen on the Nexus 4, as good as the 1X, yes or no?
It's really close. And if you're asking photo quality, I think for the Optimus G, they were always a little muted too. The screen is really, really close to the HTC One X. So the One X uses Super LCD 2. I have too many phones sitting here. Nexus 4 uses IPS display, which is the same as what Apple uses. Somebody else uses IPS, don't they? I can't remember.
Asus does on their tablet.
Right. Yes,
I think it's all kind of one and the same. I think Super LCD two is kind of a type of IPS, but it's a very similar way of putting an image on the screen. Right? Right. It's, there's not too much difference.
They are really close. The only thing that's bothered me a little bit, and it doesn't really bother me, I just notice it, I think, is the polarization of the glass. I think it's polarized. If somebody out there knows a little more about that than me and wants to correct me, be my guest.
Well, it's zero gap, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Then it's polarized, yes.
And I think I can tell a little bit of that as I tilt it and look. It doesn't make it look bad. I just noticed kind of a little shimmer.
Never thought of that.
It's tough to describe. But you know what I mean. I mean, polarization mm-hmm. is that.
I know exactly what you mean. I never thought of that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me, but I notice it. Outdoors, it's not bad. I think the 1X is a little bit better in direct sunlight, but this is totally usable. Especially if you don't have automatic brightness turn on and it's not adjusting. If it's jacked up, you can see it pretty well. Not perfect, but still pretty well. Same thing with sunglasses. I know that's important. So I'm relatively happy about that. What else? What other features do we have? Quick settings. So I'll put a piece up this weekend. I mean, they're pretty simple, right? Instead of the usual settings button in the notification bar, you have these quick settings, and if you tap it, it hops you over to them. If you tap it again, it takes you back to the notifications. Or you can do a little two-finger drag down, see if I can do it not looking. Hey, it worked. And that will take you right to the quick settings. Took a little getting used to do it, and it doesn't work 100% of the time. Like, it's maybe not registering the second finger. I don't know if they can tweak that with software a little bit. I bet they can. Or if that's me just still getting used to it. But I like the idea, and I'm having to force myself a little bit to keep using it, but because I'm just so used to hitting the settings button. But I like it. Now, I'm curious if you're going to be able to add anything to this. Right now, I don't see anything in the settings menu that will let you add items to that quick setting list, unless I've just missed it. But I don't
get.android.com. You can add anything you want, baby.
Yeah, that's true. Or if third-party applications will be able to add anything to that. I'm curious to see what everybody does. The one thing I know people asked about, yes, it does show your profile picture, which is interesting. So I think I need to double-check one more time. I think what it does is you sign into your Google account, and it still doesn't show up. It's not until you sign into Google Plus that your profile picture shows up along with your name.
Mm-hmm.
So So keep that in mind.
So what actually happens when you press your, when you click on your profile picture? Where does that take you?
It opens up. I don't know if you can see it. It opens up this little window that, you know, says Google Plus, view your Google Plus profile, and I push it.
Oh, so it's
Google Plus. Oh man!
So it's a Google Plus ad, basically.
It's a Google Plus.
Part of me was hoping that Phil would blink away and the phone would just drop to the floor whenever he touched it. That would have been wild.
That's always a possibility, I suppose. Other stuff in 4.2. Oh, I want to talk to you guys about the developer settings. So this was a really fun thing. We get the phone on Tuesday, and the first thing I want to do is unlock it so we can show how to unlock it and just make sure that works the same and pull a system dump and all that stuff. And, you know, one thing you have to do that is have USB debugging, only we didn't have USB debugging. We didn't have developer settings. There was nothing there. And I'm like, okay. So Alex had the brilliant idea of installing Launcher Pro and doing a direct shortcut to the developer settings, and that worked. But turns out what it is they've hidden it. So you go to the settings menu and go to About Phone and then start tapping Jelly Bean Build, and you tap it 7 times, and that unlocks the developer settings. So that was interesting. That was different. What do you guys think about that? On one hand, it's odd to see on a Nexus phone. It's like, ah, crap, they're messing that up. But I think for consumer devices, for something you buy in a carrier store, for something my mom buys, she doesn't need to have the developer settings just sitting there, even if they have a toggle on-off switch. Like, that's not something that should be in front of her.
Yeah, that's stuff you just don't need to see. A lot of OEMs have put warning messages up when you go in there anyway. So it's, I think once it gets out there that that's how you get into developer settings, it's not going to be a big deal. It's just a bit weird that we saw it first on a Nexus, but then again, we saw it first on Nexus because that's where we get the new version of Android. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's just going to be the way it works from now on. I think it's going to prevent a lot of confusion from people who stumble in there accidentally and you know, turn acceleration on or turn all these clicking settings on. Yeah. So yeah, that's yeah.
And Jerry's right.
I think it's a great thing.
I have no problem with that.
Sorry, go ahead, Jerry.
I think it's a great thing. I know people that don't have any business tapping those check boxes, and they shouldn't even have to see it because they're not going to be able to resist touching it.
I do think Jerry's right. As long as it's like well documented in the Android dev documentation and all that stuff, I have no problem with it. It's a cool little way to hide it. Somebody mentioned on Google Plus that they wish there was a way to rehide the developer settings. So if anybody's listening, I think I agree with that. Especially for, you know, some sort of service.
Maybe if you tap 700 times, it'll tell you you're about to tap away from not being a developer.
It's funny if you, let me open it up again and I forget what it says. So I tap it again and it says, no need, you are already a developer. It is kind of cute because you tap it 3 times and then it pops up a little message that says, hey, only 4 more times and then you're a developer. Tap it again, hey, only 3 more times and then on up to 7. It was kind of cute. No new Easter egg. In the Android version, you know, if you tap that over and over, it just shows the same old jelly bean that hasn't changed.
So, well, that's good. It's really not a big platform change, so.
Yeah.
Google's smart.
Anything else on the Nexus 4? I mean, the long and the short of it is, I like this phone a lot. Oh, the back of it. I know people have been freaking out about the kind of glittery twinkle effects or whatever. You probably can't even see it here in this video.
Twilight.
If the sun catches them right, they light up. They almost glow. I like it a lot. I think it's really cool. Indoors, you'll never notice. I mean, it looks like, we've talked about how it looks like the background on the original wallpaper on the Nexus One, and it, you know, in the sun it looks beautiful, but indoors you can't even tell. Like, you might be able to see the pattern with when the light hits it. I'm trying to, you know, tilt it so the light in the room catches it just right, but it doesn't glow like some of the pictures I've been showing from outdoors. So like, if you don't like those pictures you've seen, don't worry about it. That's not how it looks all the time, but it makes for really good photography. God, I can't wait.
Is someone in the chat asking if it's a new API level? I guess it would be, but have we checked that?
I would assume it is.
Mm.
Can I tell on here? I don't think I can tell on here.
Probably not. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could suck something out of there, but not right now.
Would that be in the build prop? I think it's in the build prop.
Should be.
Maybe, yeah. Actually, I think I'm pretty sure I looked at that and it was 17 or something.
Yeah, in fact, you're right. That's what made me think of it because I remember seeing it there. No, I'd expect that changes probably when the SDK is updated. So, it's a slippery phone. It's a big slippery phone with a lot of glass on it. So we talked about scratching and breakage earlier. The bezels, the edges are done up in rubber. So it gives you some good grip, and that's good. I like how they did that. But it's slippery.
Got a paper clip or anything on your desk?
Yeah, what do you need?
Push it. Is it really rubber?
Oh, I don't know. It's soft touch.
If it's really rubber, that's like a solid score for Jerry. I've been wanting that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's like rubber or soft touch or what, but it's rubbery soft.
But I mean, the paper clip sinks in. Oh, sweet.
No, it's soft touch.
Yeah, no, I like dumb things. That's all right. Just keep
So that's the Nexus 4, the other one. And honestly, I haven't gotten to play with this that much because we've been so busy on the Nexus 4. I think that's probably the slightly more important device is the Nexus 10, which now looks like my head in the video. This part, the upper part of the back, and honestly, I don't think I did the post on this. I haven't read that much about it. Is there like a big dock or something that's going into this that they announced? What are these giant contacts on the back?
I don't remember seeing anything.
Did you see what I
know it has its own proprietary power thing at the bottom, doesn't it?
It's got that and it charges.
Yeah, it's and at the top you've got that kind of I don't know, is it soft touch or rubberized area that looks a bit like a Zoom?
And they're saying it in the chat too. That's for the flip cover that shuts it on and off.
Flip cover, cool. Yeah, no, that's what I'm
saying. Send you one of those?
Head down on the Nexus 4. I haven't even seen that. 10 inches, the resolution on the display is like 5 million by 12. It's insane. What is it? It's like 2,000 by, anybody remember in the chat room?
It's 1600, 2560 by 1600, I think, is the number.
Yeah, let me pull it up. I'm sorry, I should have this offhand, but I don't. It's awesome. 2560 by 1600, 300 PPI on a 10-inch tablet. It's just... it's ridiculous. Yes, Jerry?
That just has to be a dick measuring contest kind of number. I'm sorry. There's no need to go that high. That actually degrades performance, in my opinion.
Maybe.
I would have liked to see them stop.
You're still around the magic 300 number, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not going way off in like the Droid DNA is, and your 450 or whatever that thing is.
I think you can
still hold it a decent distance away, and you're not going to be able to see any pixels.
You can't see anything if you hold it a decent distance away because it's only a quarter inch long.
Well.
I just don't get it. I don't know.
The sight's loaded pretty
soon. The reason they went with that, they built it around the screen, apparently.
If you
look at some of the details behind it, they came up with this Samsung screen, and the rest of the device was built around, okay, how can we power this so that it works really well with Android?
I can see that.
I mean, I like a high resolution, especially on, a premium device, and I'm going to say the Nexus 10 is a premium device. Absolutely. With a not so premium price. But sometimes it's just you got to know when to quit.
It is still very much based on a Samsung tablet. You've got the speakers on either side. We've got USB and 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, and you've got HDMI out. And text on here just looks awesome.
You're not confusing this with an iPad, are you?
No, I'm not confusing
it. It's one of the first things we noticed about this.
Not at all confusing it with an iPad. It's beautiful. It's 4.2. So this will have... Oh, I've got a system update on this one. This will have the account switching, but that's not actually active yet. So we have to wait for an update to get that to work. So I can't tell you about that. Otherwise, it's 4.2. Just like, Nexus 7 is going to get it 4.2 like the Nexus 4. It's Android. Not a lot's changed there. So pretty much everything we talked about for the last
time. I think the interesting thing with the UI that has changed is that it's gone back to the, people call it the phone style UI, but you've got
the thing,
it's moved away from the Motorola Zoom style where you have the clock down in the corner. This is very much sort of the Nexus 7 kind of UI where you've got the buttons down the bottom, you've got the the bar up at the top for notifications, and they've gone back to that kind of design. I think Matisse Duarte was saying that it's all about muscle memory. It's all about having a familiar experience across all your Android devices. So,
did he really say that?
Which makes sense.
I wouldn't pay any attention. Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I like the UI on the Nexus 7.
Yeah, and it makes even more sense on a bigger screen because you've got more pixels. I always say more pixels to go around and to be able to sacrifice some for a menu bar. So, yeah, it's good.
I just like everything being in the same place. Well, you're in the same boat as I am. It seems like every day you're picking up a different device. And
yep,
anything that can be the same between them all is nice.
Yeah, I actually think, especially with the way 4.2 is going, we'll actually see some more standardization around that in the next gen of phones and tablets. I don't know, maybe that's wishful thinking.
Should we say it's not actually running the tablet UI, the phone is now running the tablet UI?
How dare you use this?
Android is running the Android UI.
Okay. I agree. No, Jerry and I have talked about this.
Yeah, I'm just giving Phil a hard time, guys. But yeah, it's running the hybrid UI that's going to bridge the gap between conventional Android tablets and the phone UI, just like they promised it would.
Right. That's what it's doing. This one's rebooting right now. Ooh, that's a big clock on there. Look at that. It's nice. I don't just know that I want a 10-inch tablet again. I want a 7-inch tablet that's like this, though. I think I really do. Notification screen just pulls down on the side here. If you can see it.
Renee says hold it up again. He wants a picture, I think.
I'm working on it. So notification bar comes down from there. Two-finger swipe should do. Does it do quick settings? How does that work now?
Richard Devine saying with the status bar on the top, you can't use it with one hand. But the idea is, I think, in the final build, you're going to, when you swipe down with your left thumb, it's going to be notifications with the right thumb, the right
notifications
side.
Notifications on the left, settings on the right.
Notifications on the left, quick settings on the right. Yep. So that's how it's going to work.
Yep. That's how it works now. That's how it works here.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yep.
Good on you, Google.
Yeah, I actually like that on the tablet a lot.
It'll stick.
Wonder how that works in a portrait. Let me see. Pull down the left, notifications. Pull down on the right, settings. That's really cool. I like that a lot.
Hmm.
Works the same way.
Yeah, and it makes sense where you see the way it's always been on the Nexus 7, where you run it in landscape. You've always had a gap on the right hand side, and I guess they're filling that in with other stuff now.
It's nice. It's big. I think 7 inches is the size for me. I mean, going back to the iPad a little bit, as much as I don't like the width of it, the big screen is nice, right? Like, even Samsung's had Android tablets like this too. That same sort of in between size, it's good. Yep. What else? Yeah, I mean, accessories, we just don't know yet. And that's kind of I'm a little tired of that. I'm a little tired of devices being announced with, you know, and we're going to have all these cool things and don't know when you're going to get them. You might not ever.
Mm. Nope. Yeah, and that's not just a Google thing. We had that with the S3. We had that to a certain extent with the One X. Yeah. And it seems like any flagship device they have, it's... you'll see plastic dummy prototypes when they announce it of all these accessories, and then it's a good 6 months later before we can actually buy them. So,
right. I don't know about speed yet on the tablet. I got to play with that some more. So, you know, full review obviously is coming. I'm excited. I'm so happy. We have new Nexus stuff. I love Nexus. It's so nice to be back on it. I kind of miss. We did a fun little post. Jerry wrote it up on the Nexus family and four generations of it. And JBQ from the AOSP project mentioned the phones that he liked the best were, you know, the shiny ones or whatever, the ones with the glossy backs and no texture. And that got me thinking, actually, because I've picked up the Galaxy Nexus a couple times to test, 4.1.2 versus 4.2 stuff. And I was like, man, I pick up the Nexus and it just feels... the Galaxy Nexus, and it just feels older and plasticky. And it is, but
it always was plasticky. Even at the time, it didn't have the greatest build quality.
Right, but it's funny how my opinion has already changed after 3 days with the new phone.
Yeah.
For better, whether that's fair or not, it's going to happen, right? It's just funny how it works.
Yeah, new stuff feels new, old stuff feels old.
Any other questions? Chat room, Jerry, Alex, we've got so much more coming. We're going to start, we're already running through the features. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of features. The big, probably for me, the biggest feature is the new camera. And that's, Jerry, we don't think that's going to get updated to the Galaxy Nexus, right? Officially.
I don't know. There looks to be some closed source components in the Photosphere. If anything, I'm thinking that's going to be like a Google application.
Right.
Not to say that it won't make it in the market and get pushed to the Galaxy Nexus. That is possible. But it's not going to be something
with the keyboard,
in
AOSP. Possibly.
Right.
And actually, now that these are Google applications, that opens the door up for them to be just updated through the Play Store.
Yep. I mean, they use objects in different portions of the operating system, but that can all be handled through the Play Store as well.
The other thing I was going to mention was, me and Jerry did a couple of posts on this, the whole storage space situation, because we got an 8 gig version, which is, $299 in the US, and the more expensive 16 gig one. And my basic argument was it's an extra $50. You double your storage, you might as well do it. It's a one-off expense.
Absolutely.
And my argument is Google doesn't need another $50 I can spend on beer. Give me the cloud.
Oh, something else I want to mention that I think we didn't give enough play to is Google Music. So you can get it in the UK now, and that's a big deal. But the bigger deal
You will be able to get it in UK and Europe.
The bigger deal is that Warner's finally on board, Warner Music Group.
I thought of you when I saw that announcement.
Yeah, no, I think we should have played it up a little better. That is a huge deal. That is the big one that's been missing. So now you can buy so much more stuff that's been missing. And I've been complaining about that for a long time. So kudos to Google for getting that done. That is a really big deal. I don't think it's going to make me rethink my music situation again. I like Google Music. I use it. I need local music and local storage here in the house for the wife and kids are on iPods and iPhones and stuff. But I like having access to Google Music. I like the idea of it. And I will probably continue to buy things through it instead of iTunes whenever possible, just on principle. But I wish there were a little easier way to download them locally, is my thing. The Music Manager app is just, if you try to download your entire library over it, it's hideously slow, and if you do it on the web, you can only download your stuff twice. So, but WMG is a huge deal. So, little golf clap to Google for that.
On the other side of that, we're also getting just on music, we're also getting that music matching thing, aren't we? So you can existing music. If you've got a massive library of iTunes stuff,
that's crazy. You can match that right away.
It's all about licensing.
I'm what.
Yeah, just it's odd that it played out that way, that Europe actually got reached an agreement first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unusual, especially for a Google thing.
Yep.
When only left waiting.
I feel like there are features I'm missing. Somebody in the chat room asked about the clock app. It's pretty good, actually. It's really nice. So the clock is now it's a clock, it's a stopwatch, and it's a timer. And it's also a world clock built in. So the list of cities that you can add to this world clock is just ridiculous. It took me, longer than I expected to find a city I know that I wanted to show off.
I've about got that working on the Galaxy Nexus, if I can figure out why Force closes when you set an alarm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
If I do, I'll throw it in the forums.
Yeah, no, and I bet that gets updated.
Yeah.
There's no reason it wouldn't be.
The other thing is... this is actually in the US. This is actually on contract with Timo, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's the. Let me find that email.
And
I got this
it's
morning.
Kind of pointless. I think we can all agree. And actually, in the UK as well, O2's getting it, but their deals are equally ridiculous. And I think Carphone Warehouse has it as well. And you'd be crazy to get it on contract just because it is so cheap, and you save next to nothing in the short term by doing it.
I get that. you can save a little money up front by doing it this way, but it just makes no sense because they're so cheap anyway. So actually, I did get an email from T-Mobile PR this morning, just wanted to remind us. It will be in store, select retail stores, I have no idea how many that means, and online from T-Mobile.com on the 14th, so that's the day after you can order it from Google. So you can get it on a T-Mobile Value Voice and Data Plan, and I'm sorry, it's like I'm reading a PR because I'm reading a PR. Out-of-pocket down payment of $199 with 20 equal monthly payments of $15 per month. So that's, what, an extra, I don't do math, 15 times 20? 15...
$400.
It's 20. Yeah, it's an extra 400. Yeah.
480.
Maybe extra $100 and go prepaid.
Yeah. Just do that. I'm running mine on a Straight Talk SIM. T-Mobile SIM works fine. AT&T works fine too, as well it should. The only issue you might run into is if, you know, AT&T has that weird provisioning now. If you've been on an LTE device and you go back, you might run into issues and need to call them, and it's a pain. But, you know, technically, it will work, and it should work.
I want to spend just a minute real quick on that, too, because we've tried to say it in blog posts, but sometimes it's easier just to talk. Anybody that's thinking about, oh, I'm going to ditch so-and-so, and I'm going to go prepaid, you know, it's a big expense, buy the phone, but do yourself a favor, and 1 month, buy one, you know, Straight Talk. I use Straight Talk. Try them. The next month, try T-Mobile prepaid.
Yeah.
Try them both, pick the one that works best, and then just go for it. And don't lock yourself into the wrong one without trying the other.
Right. And the reason I went T-Mobile is because I've got an AT&T account, so I just wanted the other one. I think I
did the exact opposite for the same exact reason. I wanted an AT&T account as well.
You know, and all you guys in CDMA, and you really want a Nexus, that's the way to do it. That's relatively cheap. I mean, it's not cheap. I get that, but it's, you know, not the same as getting into a contract. And I think I'm a bigger proponent of these now than I've ever been. I think the contract system is just ridiculously broken, especially when you need a phone this good for $300 or $350. So, by all means.
Well, this is a big slap in the face to everybody that's charging $699 for a phone with similar specifications.
Yeah. You know, including the Optimus G on AT&T and Sprint.
Yep.
And was T-Mobile getting one? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I guess they have the Nexus instead, though, don't they?
So yeah, true.
That's probably why they don't have it.
So we'll wrap this up here in a second. To recap, Nexus 4, very good phone. I'm very impressed so far. Weight. It feels a little heavy. It's a tad heavier than the Galaxy Nexus, but not much, but it just helps it feel more solid, I say, as I'm hefting it in my hand. Really, really good phone. I'm really happy with it. I need to go play with the camera, but I think the camera's probably going to be good enough where I won't not want to carry it. When I was carrying the Galaxy Nexus, I would almost always take either the 1X or the GS3 with me as well, so I'd have a good camera with me. I think this will probably, even though it's not quite as good, I think it will be good enough. Nexus 10 seems good. We're going to have full reviews coming up next week. I'm shooting for Monday on the phone, and then we'll get started on the tablet. I kind of like that we're taking our time with these and doing them right and not giving myself an ulcer. So, that's it. Any questions, Jerry, Alex, chat room? No?
Just looking at the chat, seeing what we've got.
All right, well, I'm going to wrap it up. Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. We didn't get to any of your emails this week. We'll make up for that next week, I promise. This was kind of a special deal. You can get us all on Twitter at Android Central. I'm at Phil Nickinson. Jerry is GB Hill. Alex is Alex Doby. But probably the best way to get us all these days is Google+. Just search for our names. We are brought to you by shopandroid.com, as we are every week. 888-468-6158. That is 888-468-6158. You can actually talk to a real life person if that's your deal, or go to the website, shopandroid.com. They got all sorts of stuff. No word yet on Galaxy. I'm gonna keep saying that. For accessories, there will be some, I'm sure. So I'm going to talk to the store guys next week. I mean, you can't even order this thing yet, so it's not a huge deal, but keep an ear out for that. And yes, we will be giving some away. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, we've got a few we will get to next week as well. Again, I apologize. Call that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222, and leave us a message, or you can record it on your computer and email it to me. It usually sounds better too, which is awesome. So, Nexus, I'm excited. I really can't wait for everybody to try these, and I want to hear everybody's experiences. If you haven't yet, go into the forums. I'm answering questions there in addition to everything else we're posting, and a whole bunch of really good discussion there. Forums.androidcentral.com. Sign up. Participate. We love it when you do. It's so much fun, and it really is what makes this worthwhile. So, Jerry, Alex, thank you guys. Everybody, thanks for hanging in there on a Friday afternoon. And we're out.
Okay, off the recorded record, Phil.
Yes.
Is this your next phone?
Yes, absolutely.